Would you take your Bibles and go to Job chapter 1 this evening, please? Job chapter 1. You know, we all go through these dark hours in our lives when we go through testings and trials, these difficult dark hours. As I told you yesterday, we're going through a very trying time right now with the fact that my wife has not traveled with me for almost a year, and she's my best friend. She's the love of my heart, and we've traveled together all these years. And you know what? Everyone goes through trials, and you know sometimes we lose sight of the purpose of those trials in our lives. I'm convinced that there's no such thing as an accident in the life of a child of God. The steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. And if that's so, then God knows what he's doing in my life right now. He knows what he's doing in your life as well. And I may not know what you're going through right now, but God knows. And I'm going to show you a man of God from the Bible. And I hope what we preach tonight will help and edify you. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. There's a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses. And a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Oh, dear Father, tonight we pray that the Holy Spirit will quieten our lives from the affairs of life and we'll be open to the Word of God tonight, and we'll see the Holy Spirit take the authority of the Word and minister to our lives. We ask in Christ's name, amen. We had the account in this passage of a man of God named Job. Job was a man who was very, very wealthy. The Bible says he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys. The Word of God says he was the wealthiest man in the East, which means by the day standards, Job would be one of the wealthiest men on the face of the earth. He'd be a multi-billionaire. However, Job had something greater than wealth. Job had character. You see, reputation is what people think you to be. Character is what God knows you are. And Job was a man of unusual character. And I'm going to show you what made up the character of this man of God. The Bible says in verse 1 that first of all, he feared God. Now look here, child of God. The Bible tells you in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 22 verse 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Look, Job was a man who feared God. That is, he was a man who had such reverence. He stood in awe of the majesty, the glory, and the power of God. But also, his character comprised of the fact that he eschewed evil. And that word eschewed means he had an absolute hatred for sin. You want to know how I know our nation lacks character? It's how we look upon sin. The world says sin is an accident. God says it's an abomination. Man says it's a spiritual blindness or blunder. God says, no, it's your spiritual blindness. Man cries out, well, it's just a chance I took. God says, no, it's a choice you made. Man says, well, it's just my weakness. God says, no, it is your wickedness. You see, Job was a man that went and had this kind of character. You know the cry of my heart and the cry that should come from your heart as a child of God is, Lord, You give me character where I fear you. I reverence, I stand in awe of who you are. And I'm a man who absolutely hates evil. The Word of God says in Proverbs that we are to not learn the way of the heathen. Romans 12:9 says, abhor that which is evil. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So Job was a man of unusual character. Although he was a man of unusual character, I want you to observe his calamities. Would you now look with me at a couple of verses? Before I do that, instead of reading this to you, let me explain this to you. Let me dramatize it to you to get the panoramic effect of this. Here is this multi-billionaire by the day standards. Job, a man with character who fears God, he hates evil. And then one day the Word of God says, a servant comes running in and says, Job, the Sabaeans attacked. They came from nowhere. They took all your oxen, all your donkeys. They're all gone, Job. He no sooner finishes when a second servant comes rushing in. He says, Job, fire fell out of heaven, burned up all your sheep. They're all gone, Job. A third man comes rushing in. Job, listen. The Chaldeans attacked. They came from nowhere. They took all of your camels. They're completely wiped out. And then a fourth man comes in and says, Master Job, oh Job, your seven sons and your three daughters have all been killed today. Then the Word of God says in Job chapter 2, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Look here. In a brief period of time, Job lost 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, his seven sons, three daughters, all killed at once, his body racked with boils from the sole of his foot to the top of his head. Total disaster. And this man of God faced the calamities of life just like you and just like me. You see, the Word of God says in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And so, congregation, this man lost his wealth, he lost his family, he lost his health. A total wipeout. Just because you are a child of God who fears the Lord and hate evil does not mean you'll be exempt from the hardships of life. And this man faced these major calamities. But third of all, I want you all to observe this man's conduct. Would you look at verse 20 through 22? Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Look here. This is so powerful. It is so moving. When this man lost everything, he did not say, why God? Why me? Nor did he say, if that's the kind of God you are, I want no part of you. Oh no, what does he do? He falls down upon the ground and he worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You know what Job was saying in essence, congregation? He was saying, God is God. Let come what may, God is still God. You know something? Whenever we cannot trace the hand of God upon our lives, we must trust the hand of God upon our lives. Job said in Job 13, 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And that's exactly what we've got to do. We've got to trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Proverbs 3, 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Isaiah 26, 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And this man of God, his conduct is so powerful. He worshiped God when he lost everything. When he did, I now want to show you, which to me is absolutely phenomenal, the coronation of the Lord upon this man's life. Go to Job 42. Job 42. I want you to look at two verses, 12 and 13. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now to me, this is absolutely so heart-touching. Look here, please. At the beginning, the Word of God says he had 7,000 sheep. Now at the end, he has 14,000 sheep. At the beginning, he had 3,000 camels. Now he's got 6,000, 500 yoke of oxen, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, now 1,000 donkeys. Hey, everything was doubled. And get this, he now has 7 sons and 3 daughters. Why does God allow us to go through trials? It's God's mysterious and wonderful way of blessing your life like he could never do it in any other fashion. You see, Job said in Job 23:10, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And you know, the same is so in your life. Whatever you are going through today, if you as an individual have the same kind of conduct regardless of the calamities because you've got character and you fear God and you hate evil, then one day God will indeed do something in your life he could not do any other way. Now, let me tell you something. You know, sometimes people think that preachers are born with a silver spoon in their mouth, you know. Well, I was born with a coal shovel in my mouth. I'm a son of a coal miner. And so, just because I've got a suit on, does that mean a tie? Does that mean that I never have difficulties and go through the trials of life? Well, let me tell you what happened in my home. My grandfather was murdered. Got both of his arms and legs off. My favorite uncle, Tony, was murdered in the coal mines. They put a dynamite cap around his neck, blew his head off. My favorite uncle, Tony. My beautiful niece, Carla, young lady, late 20s, murdered in Lorain, Ohio. My other cousin, young man, only in his 30s, committed suicide. I lost my father and my brother in a 2-month period of time. I preached my mother's funeral. You know what? There's something in my life I never had until these trials. I could never relate to someone losing a father like I'm now able or a brother like I now am, or someone who's been murdered like I can now, or committing suicide, and I can relate to all this. I can relate to so much now. It seems my heart is more tender. There's something deeper in my life. You know what, child of God? The Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 12, we went through fire and through water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. And so look, several years ago, I wrote a poem. Now, by the way, I am not a poet. I am not the son of a poet. I'm the son of a coal miner. But I love poetry. And one day I've got to be moved to do this. So I wrote this little poem. God is in control. That is all I need to know. He will guide each step for me, for he has said, I will never leave or forsake thee. Journey on with sweet joy and confidence, living for him in total submission and obedience. What a kind, loving, heavenly Father he is. So kind, he will never tempt you above that you are able. So compassionate, he will never destroy you by the trial. He will develop you. He will do something in your life where you will more reflect your heavenly Father and your Savior than before the trial ever entered your path. However, if you're unsaved, why do these bad trials happen to people? You know something, my observation, it seems like when people are financially set, when the sky is blue, the sun is shining, they're in good health, they have no time for God. It often seems like David cried out when he was being pursued by Saul. He said in 2 Samuel 22:7, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. And here is what I have found. Most people will not call upon God until there's a major catastrophe, a trial, a deep trial in their lives. Years ago, I was preaching in the state of Michigan. And I don't know who's here this evening, but someone was invited, people, and we had a lot of visitors that night. And when I gave the invitation, a dear lady came down the aisle. And others came down the aisle. But I noticed this lady was sobbing. She came down the aisle. Does not mean you got to cry when you come down the aisle, but this lady was greatly moved, and they took her in a side room. And I'm talking with people at the close of the service. And she told the lady, she said, I want to meet the preacher, the man who preached. I got to talk with him. And so they brought her out to me. And she walks up to me and she says, may I speak with you for a moment? I said, yes, ma'am, what is it? She said, tonight I got saved. I said, you did? She said, yes, I got saved. I just asked Jesus Christ to save me. And she said, I said, well, ma'am, that's wonderful. She said, but I've got to tell you something. I said, what's that, ma'am? She said, well, I have terminal cancer. She said, for the last few months, I've been going everywhere because I know I'm going to die soon. My doctors told me I do not have long. And I've been going everywhere. I've been searching. And my friend brought me tonight. And when you preached, I knew this, what I needed. I needed Christ. And then she shocked me. I mean, this is exactly what she said to me. I mean, tears are flowing. You know, she's there and looking me and right in the eyes, and she's got a smile, but she's got these tears coming in her face, and she says, I want to tell you this much. If it took this cancer to bring me to Jesus Christ, I welcome the cancer because I now know when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Jesus saved me tonight. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. You know, if you don't know him tonight, I would pray to God you'd come to him. Let someone take the word of God, take it in the side room, show you how you can know Christ. You see, you can handle the crisis your way, but you'll always be the victim of the crisis. However, if you come to Christ, who says in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You'll find that Christ can give you something that no one else can give it to you. You know why? Because the Word of God says in Ephesians 2, 14, for he is our peace, and you'll never know the peace that God can give you until you come to Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Oh, dear Father, how we rejoice that you've used this great man of God, Job, to be the example, to edify and bless the hearts of millions of God's people through the ages. I pray, Father, tonight for those who are going through difficult hours that no one knows, the grief, the tears they've shed, the broken heart, the fear. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd be the God of all comfort. And then for those who may not know you, Lord, may not know Christ as their Savior, may they come to the blessed Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name.